Desire your prayers this morning. Appreciate each one that's able to be here today. Got something I want to share with you that the Lord's been dealing with me about for some time now. And I'd like to start with a verse over in Psalms 68 and 19. 68 and 19 of Psalms. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. You know, I have, whenever I put in an application years ago for my job, one of the nice things about it was when they started talking about, you got some benefits if you work here. You got your vacation time, you've got your sick time, you've got the pay and all those things. Those, I put them in the benefit category. It says here, he loads us with benefits. If you were to make a list of what you consider to be the benefits that he loads us with, what would go in that category? I thought especially for all the things that have happened in these last couple of weeks, not just for us, but for others, health goes pretty high on the list as a benefit from the Lord. When we have health, it is surely a benefit. But you know, it's kind of nice to have a little bit of wealth. It's nice to have some money to pay your bills. I would consider that to be a benefit. I'm thankful to have a job. When we have a place to work, I think that's a benefit. There's a lot of benefits that the Lord gives us. But there's been a word come to me, and the Lord's been dealing with me that, you know what, this is also a benefit. And we will never be able to see it without the Lord's help. The scripture says that as high as the heavens are above the earth, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And then we had the verse this morning, to trust in the Lord with all our heart and don't lean to our own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So we're talking about benefits. And the things that I would put in that category. And then I want to look at this one today. Suffering. Would you consider that to be a benefit? You know, immediately I say benefits are things that I want to have. Things that I like to have. They're benefits. But you know, suffering, and a lot of times we think of this only with our health, but it can be in so many ways. It could be what others say about us. It could be about what someone does to us behind their back or whatever. It can go into so many areas that we suffer, that we have to endure it. Is there any possible way that that is a benefit? That could be a benefit to us. I would like to take a look at some scripture this morning because, you know, really for us to be able to take this subject and put it in the benefit category, we're going to have to see how God looks at it and not how I look at it. So I'd like to go to a verse in Matthew 16th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, in the religious world around us, there's a lot of churches open this morning, and they teach a prosperity gospel. If you will give your heart to the Lord, he is going to put good things in your life. They will even include that it could be wealth. It could be health. It's a lot of good things that he will put in your life. This one says, if you come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. What is the purpose of a cross? The ending purpose of that cross is to die on it. It never was intended to be just a nice looking piece of wood, piece of furniture. But it was, its final goal was there would be a death there. I remember, and some of you may have seen it before in Guthrie, and I understand what he was trying to portray by it, but there was a man in Guthrie that several times I saw him walking down the highway, walking down the street with a cross, a wooden cross, over his shoulder and dragging the back of it on the ground. That's good for a reminder to us of Jesus when he carried the cross. But it's also a reminder that there was something coming as he carried the cross. There's a death out ahead. There's some suffering out ahead. And I noticed something that as this man carried that cross, and he did it for, I saw him many times, but he had a wheel down on the bottom of the cross. Because I want to give you a picture of this, but I don't want it to be too much trouble on my back as I carry it. And I thought, you know what? That's a picture of what I can want to do. When God wants to put some things into my life that is a cross to me, I can say, well, let me put a wheel on it anyhow. Let me make this thing to where it does not cause too much suffering to me. But, you know, Jesus, he didn't just talk to us about it. Instead, he left us an example. And I was looking over here in 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter 2 and 19 through the 23rd verse. This is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. It's thankworthy if the suffering that we have to do, if we do it because we are not at fault, it's one thing. It says, what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. So sometimes this suffering is more than just my physical body suffering. It can be other things. But it says in 21st verse, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. When wrong was done to him, he handled himself in the right way. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So he left us an example. Philippians in the second chapter, remember, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So take a pattern for my life and be willing to realize that, you know what, if the Lord suffered while he was here, I may have some suffering coming to me. It says he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. That's what Christ suffered for us. And I was looking back in Isaiah when it told the description of him. Isaiah 53 and the second chapter. Because you know what? When I have troubles come into my life, it would do me good to be able to look back and realize, you know what? Jesus had some things in his life also. And he left me an example of how to handle it. 53 and third verse. He was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So I look at what he went through. And you know, before he ever came down and started in the manger, he knew what his future held. None of us can tell what this afternoon has in store for us, the things that can happen to us. Jesus knew, and he was still willing to come down and suffer for us. He left us an example. Sometimes the lessons that we need to learn in life, the best ones that we can learn about obedience, it comes through some suffering, some troubles that come into our life. And Jesus, again, gave us an example in Hebrews in the fifth chapter. And I think it's good for us because trouble is going to come to every one of us in one form or another. in Hebrews 5 and 8, it says about Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You know what? I don't think that means that he was disobedient before he had to suffer, but it showed his willingness to accept the things that came into his life, how he was acquainted with sorrow, how he accepted it into his life. It says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So when we have suffering come into our life, when we have troubles come into our life, we have the song that says, and it should be a comfort to us, in your pathway have you found some cruel thorns. Remember, Jesus knows. He also had those same things happen to him. What would it be if Jesus had not led us by example? He only told us you're going to have suffering in your life, but he had only good things come into his. No, he showed us by example what could happen. Hebrews 12th chapter, 12 and 2. Because you remember the human part of Jesus, when he was about to die, was going to die on the cross, saw it out ahead of him, and he's praying. His prayer was, let this cup pass from me. And you know what? If I could look back a few days, or any one of us could look back over our life when trouble came into it, we would have loved to have had it pass ourselves. And what he says is, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But then he says, yet not my will, but thy will be done. In Hebrews 12th chapter, in the second verse, first verse is telling about that great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. As we look at them, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. So we have an example that has been given to us by Jesus of how to go through the suffering that can come to us. And in 1 Peter 4 and 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Now it's easy for me to look at all those things, and I'm thankful for the suffering that he was willing to make for me. But now this changes it a little bit. As much as he has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. He that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as much as we see how much Jesus suffered, let me arm myself likewise, realizing that, you know what, there's going to be some suffering come into my life. There's going to be some troubles, some adversities. It can happen through health, but it can happen in so many other ways. In 1 Peter 5 and 10, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, whatever trouble comes to us, we think about Job, and a lot of times we will just think about the suffering he had in his flesh. But you know, he had some other suffering that happened to him before it ever came to his body. He suffered the loss of his temporal things. That's some suffering. He suffered the loss of family. That's some suffering. And then he suffered the loss of his health at the end of it. And I love how he went through it. The Lord gave the temporal things, and the Lord hath taken away the temporal things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then when it came down to what I really consider the most valuable, it's my health. When he lost that, and his wife said, just curse God and die. His response was, you speak as a foolish woman. Shall we not receive good things from the Lord and also the bad? So I'm looking at this today. Is it possible that God intended these things to be a benefit that was just as valuable as nature I love sitting out on the porch in the cool of the evening and seeing what God has done about springtime. Beautiful, the green just as far as I can see. The trees, it's almost like they're bursting with color. The greenery, the flowers that are blooming, all of them a reminder of good things that God has given us. But you know, when those things can be taken away, that I would still be able to see and do as Job, the Lord gave it. The Lord allowed it to be taken away. Whether it's my health, whether it's my job, whether it's family, to realize that he has suffered before and he knows how to help us through these times. They that live godly shall suffer. It's going to happen. So it won't be a strange thing for me, but to realize they that live godly are going to suffer some persecution. Paul, when he was on his road to Damascus, and the Lord stopped him there and turned his life around. And when the Lord spoke to Ananias to go pray for him that his eyesight would be renewed again, he said, Paul is a chosen vessel to me. And you know, that seems like that. Every one of us would like to be a chosen vessel by the Lord. But he added one more thing to it that made him a chosen vessel. I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer for me. I've got some things out in Paul's future. He's a chosen vessel for me. I'm going to send him to some kings. I'm going to send him to places that the normal person won't go. But how he got there was through suffering. For him to be able to go to Rome, it wasn't a vacation trip. He went by way of ship and shipwreck and a lot of troubles that came into his life. Another verse in Philippians 1 and 29 says not only that we would believe, but also for suffering. 1 and 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only that we believe on him, but we also suffer for his sake. So as I look at Paul, what's he going to do when suffering comes into his life? Is he going to take it for a time and then he turns his back on it? I love to read the verses of what he did with the trouble that came into his life. In Romans, because I tell you, if we could have a book written about our own life, and people will someday be able to read how I went through the troubles that happened in my life, I would love for it to be like Paul's. Romans 8 and 18. Here's what how he looked at it. I reckon that the suffering of this present time, how can we ever say suffering can be a benefit? Here's the benefit. The suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If I can see the suffering, the troubles that come into my life, as part of God's plan to refine me and have me ready for heaven on the day that he calls for me, then I can move it over into the benefits category. Should he allow any kind of trouble into my life? And it is so often that the only thing I think of as trouble is health. It is so many more things than that that can be, that we suffer in our life. It can be family that has gone astray. It can be family that is in trouble. There are so many things, but I am thankful for the example. And I'm also thankful for Paul when he went through his, he was able to see it in a way. He had, of course he had in, 2 Corinthians there, he tells us that he had a vision. He was able to see out into paradise. And I believe that's what held him. It's going to be very important for every one of us because suffering is going to come. Some kind of trouble will come into our life. But I believe what held Paul was that picture that he had before him. If I'll be faithful, I'm going to be able to see this paradise one day. So with that, 2 Corinthians, he started being able to compare some things in his life. 2 Corinthians 4. And when he compared it, it's going to be what we have to have in our life. 16th verse, for which cause we faint not. 2 Corinthians 4:16. But though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. What if we suffer some things for several years? Seemed like a long time. I've often wondered, I wish I could know, how long did Job suffer? How long was it between the first chapter and the last chapter of Job when things turned around for him? But this one says, no matter how long, our light affliction, it's just for a moment. What's he comparing with to be able to see that? He's got a view of eternity. He's got a picture of heaven that he holds close to him. And here's what the devil would love for us to do, is lose sight of that picture and only see the troubles that I'm going through right now, today. But when Paul, with all of his troubles, and you can read, he listed some of them out. How many times he was beaten? How many times he was shipwrecked? How many times he was stoned? Stoned him one time to where they thought he was dead and left him there. He got up and went at it again. How many troubles came into his life? And at the end of it all, he's able to say, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Now we're going to see those things around us. But what he's got is a spiritual eye that does not stay looking on that. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen, they're eternal. You know, there was many times that he was put in prison. Several times that he went to jail for it. And when he would write a letter from the prison, you know, he didn't tell about his treatment there. He didn't tell about who put him in there. What he did was, more than once, he said, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord has allowed this thing in my life. If we can see that in the sufferings that come into our life, the troubles, God has allowed it for some reason. I won't know it. I don't know it now, and I may never know it. But I need to have a confidence that he's in control of it and he's got something. When we read the verse in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. That's so easy to recite that verse. All things work together for good. Those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose. But you know, that's another thing to apply that into my life. And I see trouble has come to me again. And I'll be able to say this one also will work for good. It'll work for good if I let it. In the first chapter, James, James 1 and the second verse. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's some things that are going to come from this, if we will let it, that will cause me to be more prepared for heaven, to be able to make it. There's another verse that I'd like for us to look at. In 1 Peter, 1 Peter 4 and 16. It's 16th verse says, yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now look at this next verse, the 17th verse. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end of them? What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? I was looking in the commentary. It says severe trials will come that are going to determine our character. It says calamities are going to come that will settle the question whether we have any religion or not. It says it's come to test the value of what I have been professing. You know, I can do some good professing of where I stand before the Lord when things are going very well in my life. But you know, when difficulty comes is when it's a different story. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Let 19th verse, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as to a faithful creator. As Paul did, he just handed it to the Lord. And while I don't look at those things that are seen, the troubles that are coming into my life are not what I focus on. I realize, you know what, if I'll be faithful, I'll make heaven my home. So as we have talked this morning about benefits, what of these benefits that we've talked about would best prepare me to look toward heaven? I'd like to look at another verse that's in Hebrews. It's in the faith chapter. In the 13th verse, at the end of the 13th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We profess by our life that this is not our home, that heaven is where I'm headed. I'm headed for another country. We talked about some benefits in our life of health, maybe a little wealth, of different things, that job, a home, car, those kind of things I consider to be a benefit. What benefit would best prepare me to realize I'm a stranger and a pilgrim on earth? Nothing will do it more than when suffering comes into my life. I realize, and I'd like for us to all focus not about just health. There can be so many different things come into our life, adversities come into our life. And the very best one of all these others, because you know what? If I have been able to accumulate wealth, if I have many things going well for me, you know what? It's going to be kind of hard for me to turn them loose. I'm going to have to do some consecrating to turn them loose to go to that other side. But you know, when troubles start coming my way, to the point that I start realizing, you know what, if I'll be faithful here, there is something else awaiting me over there. How is it possible that Paul could say, I'm in a strait betwixt two? I've got two things here, and I'm at a strait to decide which one. To go and be with the Lord is what I'd like to have. To be here is what is needful for the people. But it, you know, isn't that something? That Paul would not turn his hand if God were ready to take him home to be with him. Because he was able to always keep that in sight. I'm headed for another country. For all of us today, that we would be able to see, when trouble comes into my life, and you know what, it can be mine this week, it can be something coming to your life next week. But I was thinking of a verse of a song. Though he may send some affliction, it will make me long for home. I believe we should enjoy life here. We should thank him for all of the temporal benefits he gives us. But he also gives us one more benefit that best prepares us for heaven. And he sends some troubles. Because trouble will send me to the Lord faster than anything else. We know that we need the Lord every day. But things can go well to where I can kind of feel like I've got it in control. Things are going very well. You know, in a second's time, we can be from here, down here. And you know, really, we were always down here to start with as far as my ability to make things better. But sometimes the Lord just allows us to realize it more. So there was another song, 456. And I'd like for us to sing this one. But I'd like to look at a verse of it. Because I was thinking about this verse. It's not just for the time we're going through, but you think about Mike Hightower today. You think about the folks over in Austria today that have lost a mother. This song, number 456, gives us some advice. When these troubles are coming to us, cast our burden on the Lord. And there is a verse, it's the last verse. For too well thy Savior loves thee to allow thy life to be. One long, calm, unbroken summer. You know what? I love springtime. I love it when it's about 65 degrees and the sun is shining and it's so cool outside. Kind of like what he's saying right here, when everything is going well in my life, I love it. But he loves us too much to allow it to be one long, calm, unbroken summer, one unruffled, stormless sea. He would have thee fondly nestle closer to his loving breast. And what can do that more than when trouble comes and it's out of my control? He would have thee fondly nestle closer to his loving breast. He would have that world seem brighter where alone is perfect rest. In these times, what he wants us to do is do what Paul did. These light afflictions, they're just for a moment. There's something out ahead if we will be faithful and go through those. Every one of us will have them. If we don't have them this week, your week, maybe next week. But if we will realize, as Paul did, these things are temporal. Those things are eternal. Let us not allow Satan to cause us to become discouraged when we suffer wrongfully, suffer things that we did not do, but they were blamed on us, whatever it may be that we suffer. Don't let the devil cause us to be snared by becoming discouraged with it. But let's get on top of it and realize, I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. This is not my home. I'm passing through here. If I live for 80 years and I missed heaven, if I had all the wealth, if I have, what is the verse, the song that we sing? What would it profit if I gained all the world and then I lost my soul? I wish I only had good things come into my life. I wish when I had a bill come in, I always got the money for it. I wish my car would never break down. I wish I always had perfect health. But you know what? The Lord wants to take us to heaven. And some of these things are the best avenue for him to get my attention and draw me close to him. I appreciate it. I desire your prayers.